the benefit of belief. We talked on the conversation of your diet and choosing a beverage that there are certain benefits and there are also certain burdens that come with the choices that you and I make. On the conversation of benefits of believing in God and choosing a lifestyle that is pleasing and acceptable in His sight, I want you to understand that belief really isn't truly belief if it's only exhibited during moments of comfort and convenience. When life is well and all things are swell, it's easy to say, man, I believe in God. I'm going to be dedicated to Him. It's easy to say when you're singing songs and the spirit is high, but I really appreciate what Brother Bell mentioned. Sometimes we all need that reminder. We need to just get to the house of God, to get to this place, and somehow the Spirit just works things out to where, man, I was worried about some stuff, and I was hyper-concerned over some things, but the Spirit just has a way of bringing a calm over your life when you get to the house of prayer. Anybody can testify to what I'm talking about? Right, it's not that the problems just magically go away, but the Spirit helps us cope. It helps us deal with the challenges that we face in life. The apostle apostles in John 14, they were recently informed of the Messiah's pending departure. Earlier, we know where Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go and prepare a place for you. He was telling them in so many ways, I'm not going to always be here. So you can imagine how that put a strain on their faith. It's easy to be faithful when you know the Lord is present in your life. But what about the times when you feel like He's absent? What about the moments in life when you feel like the Lord is silent? It's hard to exhibit the same faith when you know He's there. It's kind of like the comforting hand of a mother. I know if my mother's here, if I'm sick, I know God's going to work through her hands. She's going to whip up some comfort food is what they call it. You know, it's getting cool outside now. It's time for some chili. Somebody say amen when you can. Right? All right. And so mothers, parents, they know somebody's in the house. They're like, yeah, I'm ready for that. Amen. I had to put on the trench coat. I had to put on a thick coat today. I'm ready for it. you know, but it's like mama's meals, right? They just make you feel a certain kind of way. God is like that. When you just get to the house, the Spirit just makes it all right. These moments of discomfort, they're the moments that both solidify and confirm our faith. Christians today, we're still called to exhibit the same behavior that we see in the text. And while dismay and discomfort are expected, we're called to endure the adversity and rest on the assurances of God. The Hebrews writer said by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. If God said He'll never leave us, guess what? He's never going to leave us. Now, that doesn't make us immune from leaving Him, because that's what happens. We leave Him. God never leaves us. Say amen when you can. And so while difficulties are to be expected, the benefits of our belief in God will overcome the opposition. Y'all ready to get in this text this morning? All right. Let's look at the first part of the text, verse 15. Jesus said simply, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And so we know what happens at the end of this passage. On the conversation of the Spirit, Jesus, through the text, points out, when you talk about the benefits, there is a prerequisite with the Spirit. Somebody say prerequisite. One more time, prerequisite. Amen. The prerequisite of the benefit or of the Spirit. While the gift of salvation, we know, is a free product of grace, the Lord, the Godhead, they offered it free of charge. It did not cost us anything, but believe it or not, it cost God everything. It cost the Lord His very life. While salvation is a free product of grace that we could never earn or purchase, while the salvation is free, the benefit provided in John 14, that's not free. Much like a crop that sprouts from the earth, a foundation must be established before the crop sprouts from the ground and begins to be a produce or a crop. Y'all still with me? And so a foundation, the Lord is teaching us that before you receive this benefit, a foundation must be established within the heart of every believer prior to receiving the benefit of God. Y'all still with me? And so simply in verse 15, he said, number one, Jesus said, if you love me. Y'all see that there in verse 15? He said, if you love me. That term love in the original language describes one that has a great affection or care for or loyalty towards. Another definition might put it this way. It describes one that finds something or someone very enjoyable or agreeable. And so the idea of the text is that the foundation of this benefit is rooted in love and loyalty to Jesus. Meaning that before God is going, even though he's already given us salvation, but if we're going to get the real benefit of a relationship with God, you have to love him. I didn't speak a lot of it because we use love so loosely. But Jesus said it straight. He said, he's letting us know that love is not lip service. Love is not fueled on empty promises. It's greater than something that you simply declare with your mouth. But the Lord is letting us know that love, true love, is affirmed by action. I'm going to move forward. It'll make sense in a minute. He said what? He said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments, right? Right? And so when you talk about love, love, it fuels, it funds, and it enables our fidelity in the Father. And so this, I want you to understand that this declaration from the Lord, this command to love him, but also love through your actions by what? Keeping the commandments of God. These words are not unique to the Lord. This actually is a divine callback to the Deuteronomy covenant. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 there. Moses wrote, you shall love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Verse 6, he said, and these words which I command you today shall be where? In your heart. And I'm not talking about your beating heart, but your thinking heart. Right? He goes on to say, Moses wrote in the very next chapter, chapter 7, verse 9, he said, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those, watch this now, with those who love him and keep his commandments. And so what Christ said in John 14, verse 15, is really solidifying his relationship and harmonic bond with his Father. The very thing that Jehovah said in the Pentateuch, Christ reiterates with the new law in John 14. And so he's teaching us that the benefit from God is predicated on one's faith in God. In other words, you have to want this. The benefit, it's about those who really want to be with God, to those who really love the Lord. Listen, I know that we love to say that humanity, we can't do anything without God. And that is true. The Lord, he indeed orders our steps. Amen. But there is one thing that the Lord or the Godhead gave to us that he did not give to anyone else, any other creation, and that is the blessing and responsibility of free will. Meaning that we have the power to make choices. I'm going to get that to you again. I know some of us say, man, I understand. And one line, yes, we can't do anything without the Lord. This is true. But the Lord also compels us, and he designed us to make choices. Meaning what the Lord is saying, listen, if you want the benefit that I'm getting ready to share with you, if you want a close-knit relationship with me, I'm not going to force it on you. You have to choose it. You have to do something. The Lord will not just, even though he created a relationship in Genesis, we have to maintain the relationship. Meaning that there is something, while the Lord does a lot for us, the Lord will not make us love him. He will not make us keep his command. He will not make us maintain a relationship with him. You have to want it. A lot of you may not know, but for the last month, God has blessed me to be the chaplain for the Broken Arrow High School football team. And so it's definitely a privilege. And one of the things about playing a sport, everybody wants to win. But winning doesn't happen for everybody. One of the things that we stress to the team, I go meet with them every Thursday, and we have a team dinner before they go out and play their games on Fridays. Have a devotional with them, a pray with them, and this is God, of course, expanding myself into the community, as he does for all of us in different ways. God, that's really the Great Commission. Wherever you go, take the Lord with you, right? So one of the things I stress to them, in the same way that you have to want to win, that's a desire. Everybody wants to win, but not everybody wants to train. Not everybody wants to lift weights. Not everybody wants to discipline their body. Not everyone wants to have the proper conditioning. In order to be successful, it's something that you truly have to desire. You have to be willing to commit yourself to doing everything within your ability to have the proper outcome and success. Well, if it applies to the football team with winning, it definitely applies to God's team and the child of God. In order to be successful in life, in order to really have the most spiritual and relationship with God, you have to want it. Everyone wants victory. Everyone wants success. Everyone wants to be close to God, but not everybody wants to study the Word of God. Everybody wants the blessings of God, but no one wants the burden of responsibility that comes with being a child of God. Listen, you've got to study. You've got to discipline yourself. You have to maintain a close-knit relationship with the Lord. And the Lord is telling us here in John 14, listen, it's here. The blessing is here for the taking, but I'm not going to make you take it. I've got it right here. It's right here within your grasp, but you have to want it. You have to want to worship more than watch football. You have to want to study more than going to work. I know. You have to want this relationship with God in order for it to happen. That's why James said, faith without what? Works is dead. You have to want to work. When you work for God, then the benefit is yours. Amen? And so you have to ask yourself, again, the blessings and the benefits are here for the taking. But when it gets down to where the rubber meets the road, every child of God has to ask themselves, how bad do I want it? How bad do I want it? How bad do I want to worship? How bad do I want to study? How bad do I want to be connected with God and the children of God? It's something that you have to. I don't care how much we pray for you, whoever encourages you. If you don't want it, it's not going to happen. You've got to want it, amen? Is that all right with y'all? Let's move forward in the text. The Bible says here in verse 16, Jesus said, and he said, after we love him, after we keep his commandments, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, Jesus, he tells us what this benefit is. It is the Spirit of truth, whom the world, watch this now, the world cannot receive it, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The Lord said, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, right? So the Lord is prophesying the coming of the Holy Spirit and what its function is going to be about in the lives of those who believe in him. And so after we consider the provision of the Spirit and the benefit, prerequisite, then we get to number two, the provision of the Spirit or the benefit. Somebody say provision. One more time, provision. All right, watch this now. So, once the foundation is laid, you become the good ground and you're profitable, you are ready for growth. Now provisions can be made from the Lord. Watch this now. In verse 16, the term, it's a small word, but it really makes a major difference. The term "and" links the provision to the prerequisite. The two work in harmony together. Jesus stated, and I will pray, right? He said, and I will pray the Father, and what? And he will give, right? So, right, first thing is the prerequisite. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Right? So that's the prerequisite for the Holy Spirit. If you don't love God, if you don't want him, if you're not chasing after him, if you're not obedient to his will and his destiny for your life, the Holy Spirit will never be yours. So he said, if you follow this prerequisite, if you make this divine choice, the Lord said in response, he said, I will start praying. He said, I will pray, and as I pray to the Father, then the Father is the one that gives the benefit. He said, the Father will give. That term give in the original language describes a number of things. It describes one, it means to transfer a possession of something concrete or abstract to somebody. Another way to put it is to set or to move and set into a certain place or abstract location. What I want you to understand about this benefit, being the Holy Spirit is larger, or it's not really about our possession of the Holy Spirit, but it's really more about the Spirit's possession of us. Okay. If you ever been to a bar where they serve alcohol, okay, and don't get funny with me. Some people have been to a bar, or maybe you don't go to a bar, you've been to the liquor store. Okay, don't get fake with me now. Okay, just be real with me. Right? So you go to the bar or you go to the liquor store, and one of the descriptions that they will give with alcohol is they will refer to them as spirits. Right? Now, the thing is about those types of spirits is if you overindulge in that spirit, the spirit will start to possess you to where now you are no longer under your own. Somebody say, y'all know what I'm talking about. You're no longer under your control. Artists make songs about it. They'll say, blame it on the alcohol. Why? Because the spirit took a hold, y'all. So you are under the control of that spirit. Even though you bought it, you purchased it. It's in your hand. You possess it. But if you drink it, too much of it, what you bought, what you possess, will in turn possess God teaches that the Holy Spirit, much like the worldly spirit, functions in the same way. When we love God, I know y'all wasn't expecting this. When we love God and we keep his commandments, the Lord prays. God puts the spirit in our possession. If we drink the spirit long enough, we stop possessing the spirit, and the spirit starts to possess us. What does that look like, preacher? Before the Holy Spirit, you used to curse like a sailor, but now the spirit has a hold of you. Now you don't talk like that no more. Okay, okay. Before the Holy Spirit, you were hitting up the bar. You were hitting up the liquor store. But now that the Holy Spirit has control of you, you don't want any other spirit. You only desire the Holy Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit, you used to run the streets. He and she was for the streets. But now that the Holy Spirit is a part of you and it dwells in you, the only street you want to be on is the street of gold. Somebody say amen when you can. Yeah, and so God is teaching us that this gift, this provision of this benefit, is not really about us laying a hold of it, but it's about it, the Spirit, getting a hold of us. And so he said, and he will give you, talking about the Father, what? Another helper. Okay? That term helper describes a person who acts as a spokesperson or a representative of someone else's policy, purpose, or cause, especially before a judge in the court of law. Now, I want you to understand that this advocate that the Father provides to us, it's vital to the disciple, especially in the context of John 14. If you go back to chapter number 13, verse 11, Jesus told the 12, you are not all clean. Drop down 10 verses in John 13, verse 21. He then speaks very plainly. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then it gets worse. You drop down to verse 38 in John 13. He tells Peter and those, most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me, not once, not twice, but three times. Then you get to chapter number 14, verse number 2. Even though he talks about preparing a place, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And the disciples were like, how we are. You hear what you want to hear. They didn't care about heaven. They didn't care about that. All they heard was, I'm leaving you. So hear this, Lord. You tell us we're not all clean. One of us is going to sell you out. We're going to all deny you. You're about to leave us. Lord, how are we going to cope with that? That's a lot of bad information. Our faith now is shaking. So now see the importance of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I know right now your faith can be is shaken. Your life may be a little bit rocky, even though I'm getting ready to leave you. That's why the Lord said the Father will give you another helper, meaning I've already been a great source of help and guidance to you, but now I'm getting ready to leave to fulfill my greatest purpose, which is to prepare a place for you. In my absence is something else. But that something else is right in the same breath as my Father and as me, the Son, and that's the Holy Spirit. Watch what he said. There is a methodology with this benefit. There's a method to the madness of God. Jesus, I still can't shake the fact that you're telling us that you're getting ready to leave. Lord, we left everything and everyone to follow after you. It's been 3 years and change, and now you're telling me that you're getting ready to leave. I don't know about you, but that would shake me to my core. Consider the timeline in John 14, in this passage. Verse 15, he said, he lets us know love is the foundation. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. As a response to that, Jesus, in return, he prays to the Father. He says, I will pray the Father. Then after the Lord, because of his connection with the Father then provides the Spirit, a.k.a. he will give you another helper. When the Spirit comes, the Lord lets us know that the helper or the comforter, the Spirit acts as a guide and advocates for the disciples. Now watch this now. As awesome as the Son of God was to the disciples, the Spirit of God really is more important for them. I know this is not a denouncing of the Son of God, but it's really when you look at the language that the Lord uses, the Spirit of God is really doing greater work than the Son of God. With the Son of God, because he clothed himself in flesh, the flesh limited his ability because the Lord humbled himself. Right? And so now that the Lord, once he ascends back to heaven, he's taking on his true form, which is not flesh, it's not blood, but it's the fullness of the Son of God. Right? So as long as the Son was clothed in flesh, his purpose was only limited to dying on the cross and purchasing our salvation. The Lord, the Son of God in the flesh, could only function outside of the disciples. But when the next helper comes, watch what the Lord said. He said the Spirit will not only be beside you, but the Spirit, watch this now, will be inside of you. So the Lord is saying in an act of humility, because I was in the flesh, I could only do so much for you. But when I leave, I'm going to give, the Father is going to provide a benefit that will do more than what I could do in my 33 years of life. The Lord, the Father, is going to give you something that will be with you more than 33 years. The Father will give you something, not just that you can see, but more than something, it's about what you feel. Something that will possess you. Something that will, if you allow it, it will take over your life. It will turn your life upside down. You can be in a situation that seems desolate, that seems destructive, but because you have the Spirit of the Lord can give you peace in the middle of your storm. Really what the Lord is telling the disciples, I'm going to give you what enabled me to be the Son of God, and that's the Spirit of God. Oh, my God. And so now, if you love me and you keep my commandments, I'm going to pray to my Father.
And because I love the Father and I obey his commands, he's going to provide you with something that's going to do more than what I could do in the flesh. It's going to be with you, but more importantly, it's going to be in you. We don't really appreciate what the Lord is saying here because we only apply this to loved ones who die. When my mother died, what encouraged me the most was even though she's gone from the body, her spirit lives in Jesus. Showed that when he died on the cross, he left us to go back to heaven. But even though Jesus left, the Spirit of God still. And so this thing is greater than your mother dying or your father or someone that you love. This is a process of the Godhead. The Lord came from heaven, lived perfectly, died, left again, but he didn't leave us by ourselves. He gave us a part of him that will do more for us now than he ever could in his 33 years. Listen, the miracles were awesome. The sermons were great. But the Spirit brings the miracles to life. The Spirit of God brings the sermons and the teachings of God to life. The Spirit, much like here, it brings the Word, which is God, according to John chapter 1. The Spirit brings the Word of God to life still today. As I shut this thing down, when you talk about this process, right? There's a prerequisite, right? What did Christ say? If you love me, keep my commandments. After that, look at the proximity. We get close to Jesus. Jesus' relationship with the Father, it describes his closeness to the Father. The Father then supplies the Spirit. And then the Spirit advocates for, with, and in the believers. So I want you to understand that what the Lord is teaching us is this process to where we receive the benefit of the Holy Spirit. This process is and provision is based on one's proximity to God. Meaning that if you're not close to God, you don't receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Meaning if you don't have a relationship with him, if you're not closely associated with him, if you are not opening the pages of inspiration and seeking out what thus says the Lord and allowing the Lord and his word to speak to you, if you're not in constant, daily, moment after moment, meaning that there shouldn't be a moment in life when you're not talking to God about you, your situation, God's will for you, your life. If you don't have that type of closest, if the Lord is not your day one, if he is not that, if you don't have that, then you will never receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This blessing, where the Spirit comes alongside as a guide, or the Spirit doesn't just come alongside, but the Spirit comes inside and it dwells within your heart. It is it's bigger than a conscience, but it really possesses you to where when you're full of God, there's no other option but God. This type of benefit only is provided based on your proximity. Okay, it still may not be registering. And I'm a parent now, so I can speak to this truthfully. And I know as parents, you hear parents and grandparents say, you know, you shouldn't have any favorite children. You know, love all your kids the same. And honestly, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. And I'm going to tell you why. One, because I have two children now, so I definitely understand it now. Kalani needs a different type of love from me than Cassidy. It is impossible for me to love both of them the same because, one, they're two different people. Okay? And Karen and I, we talk about this all the time. And it's also not just considering them, it's also impossible for me to love them the same because I'm not the same person that I was 3 years ago when Kalani was first born. So the prayer is, while I was, I believe I'm a great person 3 years ago, preferably I'm better 3 years later. But before Kalani was born, I never changed a diaper in my life. 3 years later, I'm whipping that thing up like nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a pro now. Right? And so practically, I'm a different man, I'm a different husband, I'm a different father, and so what happens is now I'm able to give more to the second child. Wow, and unfortunately the first child was the guinea pig. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't know any that you taught daddy how to be a father. And so it's impossible, one, because they're two different people with two different sets of needs. But then secondly, I'm a different person. Preferably, the more children you have, now you're more tired. That's a little have mercy, amen. You may be more tired, but you should know more. Right? When the second child came and she was a girl, okay, I did this before. I have a daughter, so I know how, now she's not the same daughter, Lord have mercy, but she's still a girl. So because I had experience prior to her, I know I'm better capable to serve her. Right? Now, also on the conversation of not having favors. That's not true, because if we're honest, the favorite child is the one who listens. Say amen. It's not that you don't love the disrespectful child. I'm not saying you don't love them. But let's be honest. Who has more favor? The one that listens or the one that disobeys? I got kids. I can talk to y'all like this now. Before it was just all Bible. Now this is real now. So next time you say, I ain't got no favorite, stop lying. Okay? The favorite is whoever's listening. Okay? You love them all in the way they need to be loved, but favor is about proximity. There was a family. There was a set of parents many, many years ago that had multiple children. The children were blessed and they had offspring. And as the family grew up, they all were together. They celebrated every holiday together. They were all together and they all got the same benefits because they were all together. As time progressed, some of the children relocated, moved elsewhere, had their children, of course, with distance. Obviously, you're not going to always be around all the time. But then there were some children who moved away, but still certain times they always found their way back home to see the parents. They made sure the parents saw the grandchildren. And it got to a point to where a pattern started to happen where the parents started to give special treatment or special preference to the children that showed up, right? And the parents asked, the other children asked, well, Mama, Daddy, I noticed that you always do this for this child. These grandchildren always get the most from you. You're supposed to love us all the same. Why is it that they get more from you than the rest of us? Well, the parents simply replied, they get more from me because they come home. I, you know, it's not that I don't love you, but because they're sure they continue to come home. They continue to spend time with me. They make sure I see my grandchildren. And so because they come home and I see them, they get blessings based on proximity. It's not that they're my favorite, but they're the ones that remember me. Truth is, if you came home as much as they did, you would get the same treatment. Preacher, what are you getting at? God can bless all of his children the way he wants. But the ones that get special treatment, God's favorite children, are the ones that are close to him, are the ones that worship him in spirit and in truth every Sunday. God's favorite are the ones that aren't afraid to open up the Bible outside of Sunday or outside of Wednesday. God's favorite child of his are the ones that aren't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They're not afraid to open their mouth and share the Lord in public spaces, at the grocery store. They're not afraid to talk about God on the job. They're not afraid to stand on the word of God all by themselves. They're not afraid to be a witness for the Lord. And so that is the favorite child of God. You want to know a secret? Even though God has his favorite children, the beauty is all of us are capable of becoming God's favorite child. So you feel like, Lord, why are you blessing them instead of me? How close are you to the Lord? Lord, I noticed that they're getting something that I'm not getting. And the Father will ask you, what are you doing that they aren't? Or more importantly, what are you not doing that they are doing? You want special treatment from God? You want to get his attention? Get close to him. I mean, get close to him. Preacher, what do you mean? You really get in his word and see what thus says the Lord, and you'll find there were blessings in that word you never thought were there. You really want to get close to him? Allow the Spirit of God to take full possession of your life and let him turn your life upside down and watch God open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you don't have room enough to receive it. Get close to God. Be in close proximity. And you'll find that the Father will bless you because you remember him. But if you don't talk to him, you don't call him, you know, you don't give space for him to talk to you, don't expect him to be to you what he's done for others. I know we say what he's done for others, he'll do for me, but he'll only do it if you love him. And you keep his commandments. That's the benefit of belief. It's not just something you say, but it's something that you are. It's something that you live. It's something that with time you become. It's not something that you can fake, because it becomes your new life. That's the benefit of truly believing in God. So, preacher, what are you getting at? I encourage us all to try the Lord. Try the Father. Get close to him. And I mean real close. Closer than you ever have in your life. And the Father will bless you in ways you never thought. Listen, I'm at a point in my life, I may not have everything that I want, but I've got everything I may not have my mother, but he gave me a wife. He gave me two girls. He gave me a father that's still here. He gave me siblings and a loving church family. I really couldn't ask for more in my life. And so I'm really at a point, and I don't know about you, but I'm like Joshua, as for me and mine. Lord, if you don't give us anything else, you've already done enough. Why? Because I got a point in my life where I said, God, okay, you know what? I'm not going to play with you no more. I'm going to be serious about my relationship with you. And when I got serious with him, man, my life. Can anybody testify that I tried the Lord? And he blessed me. He blessed me more than I could ask. He gave me more than I expected. He was better to me than I thought he could be. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that I trust, that I believe in. And I'm like the Apostle Paul. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Lesson's yours. Come on to your feet. Come on. Come on. Come on to your feet. It's yours. There's a benefit to believing in God. But belief requires action. Love requires closeness to the Father. You get close to God, God will get even closer to you. Here, as a member of the body of Christ, you have tasted the goodness of God. But maybe you're like that child who's become real distant with God. And you're at a state where you're wondering, where is God? Where are the blessings that the word talks about? Maybe it's not a matter of where is God, but God is asking, where are you? Restoration. This is the time to come back to the Lord. This is the time to get your life right with him. Not a member of the body of Christ. I want you to understand, you are a child of God. You're just not a child of God spiritually. Because you're a creation of God, we're all created in his image and in his likeness. But because of the issue of sin, it has diluted our likeness and our image. Because of sin, we no longer look like our Creator. And that's why Jesus had to come to eradicate and bury our sins in the grave. So that if we believe and we're baptized, we now take on the image of our Father and our Creator once again. I want you to understand that you're his child, but you're not as close to him as you need to be, but also you should be. I'm a witness, and there are other witnesses in the house that if you talk to us long enough, we'll tell you that when you are truly converted to Christ, you may not get everything that you want in life, but you have the best life. It is a life that when it's all said and done, when you believe, you love him, and you're faithful, and you keep his commandments to the best of your ability, what you didn't get down here will pale in comparison to what God rewards you with up there. You want to be a member of his body. You want to be close to him. You have to follow his pattern. He lived. He died. He was resurrected. And we become new creations, not in us, but new creations in Christ Jesus, created for good works. Apostle Paul said, we are his workmanship. What's your desire? You need prayer as a child of God. This is your time. You're a physical child of God, but you want to be a spiritual child of God. You want to put on Christ in baptism.
This is your time. This is your time. Come on now while we sing a song of invitation.